Good morning, Wisconsin. Morning, world. Hope the start of the day is treating you good for this March 30th, 2023. It is 7:04 on the clock. Got your host, James J. Mailoff here. I am joined by CEO of your United Way of Southwood and Adams Counties, Terry Johns.
Good morning.
Good morning, Terry. Got the band back together. We're going to have some fun today. We're going to catch up with our friends at the United Way in a little bit. Looking forward to that. We also have our National Day of calendar we're going to get into in this hour. Plenty of other stuff. Pepsi's got a new logo. We got to talk about that.
Oh.
Got to get into that one, Terry. We also have a cup noodles breakfast. The new cup noodles breakfast. We got to talk about that. I don't know what that is. I honestly don't know what that is. We'll find out together.
I'm getting visuals of ramen.
Yeah. That is coming up in that 8 o'clock hour. We will kick things off with some fun, and then we'll get it with our update from our friends at the Weather Eye Weather Center. Then we'll have Misty's Menu Birthday and Anniversary Club. Looking forward to all of that. In the 9 o'clock hour, we kick things off with our good friend Madison, the Executive Director of the Southwood County Humane Society, and our Pet of the Week.
Oh, I'm here for Pet of the Week?
Yeah, I was. I didn't know if you realized that or
I
not,
didn't.
So I was waiting until this moment to be able to break that.
Do we know what's coming?
No, we don't. Madison's going to surprise us. She always does.
Oh, that'll be fun.
Yeah, we're looking
forward. I was just
to
thinking
that.
It always throws me off when I'm not here on Friday.
Yes.
Like, it just makes everything kind of weird, but that makes it better.
Makes it a little all right. Makes it okay. We want to send a big thank you to our friends at Cotton Thimble sponsoring that segment. A big thank you to them for that. After Madison joins us in the 9 o'clock hour, we'll have some entertainment news. Good story. Actually, I have a great one for our entertainment stuff today, Terry. Actually, got a couple of good ones. One of them, the best country songs about dogs.
I've got a good guess.
Okay. I thought that was a good one for having Madison in today. That Ain't Right Stories, Good Stories of the Day, the unusual, usual suspects for you throughout the show today. We're going to have a lot of fun. Terry, how are things going over at the United Way?
Everything's going good. Busy as usual. Few things, one thing that's time sensitive, and that is, tomorrow is the last day to buy calendar raffle tickets. Yeah. If you want in on our calendar raffle, we have $2,000 worth of cash prizes for the month of April. So every business day of April, we will draw a winner. Those tickets are $10 each or 3 for $20. All prizes are sponsored, so that's really awesome, mm-hmm. because then none of the ticket sale money, goes for prizes. Yeah. So it all goes into our campaign. And our goal is to raise about $6,000 with the calendar raffle, and we're really close. So that's awesome. But if you'd like in on that, it's a fun way, fun way to win some cash.
Yeah.
You can just connect with us at the United Way office at 351 Oak Street. Our business hours are 8:30 a.m. until 4 p.m. So you can stop in if you're interested in tickets, but those are only through tomorrow.
Mm.
The other things we have going on for the month of April, we are collecting new and gently used children's books, which will then be distributed at our Great Book Giveaway events in June. And we'll talk more about those days later on, but what's important about April is that we collect as many books as possible so that when kids come to those events, they don't just leave with one book, they get to leave with multiple books, which they think is super cool. The other thing that we got this year for a Great Book Giveaway is actually those drawstring backpack bags. So when kids come, they get a bag to keep their books in.
Ooh,
you know,
kind
of have a special place for that.
Awesome.
Yeah. So that'll be really cool. So for the whole month of April, we are taking your new and gently used children's books. I would say birth till about, maybe age 11, 12, those kind of age appropriate books. Let's see. We still have My Free Taxes.
Yes.
So that'll be up through April 17th, through tax day. And you can file your taxes. If your household income was less than $72,000, it is free. But if you were over that, you can still file there. It's very cost effective. Even if you have, some special schedules and that kind of thing that have to happen, it is very, very cost effective. So the way that you access My Free Taxes is to go to our website at uwswac.org, and there is a rotating banner at the at the homepage. And on there, you just click My Free Taxes, and it'll take you right to the portal. April 12th, we have Community Shred Day.
Yes.
That takes place at Prevail Bank, which is at 1601 Lincoln Street here in Wisconsin Rapids. Starting at 9 a.m., you can drop off two boxes for free. Each additional box is a $5 donation to United Way of your sensitive documents that need to be shredded. So you've got some time. What do we got? About 3 weeks.
Yeah.
It would be a really good idea to hustle up those items in your home that are somewhat sensitive. Bank statements, any old paperwork. Typically, kind of the rule of thumb is 7 years. You keep things, you don't have to keep your monthly bank statements long, though.
No.
Just till you're done with them.
Mm-hmm.
So anything that needs to be shredded, bring that over to Prevail Bank. We are scheduled there from 9 a.m. till 11 a.m. However, if the shred truck is full, it's full. So it's kind of until we're full. So come right away at 9. You don't have to get out of your car. We will unload for you. So that's another fun and exciting thing. And then we also are taking registrations for United We Can, our food sculpture contest. That'll take place on Thursday, June 15th. The game at the Rafters, and the game is against the Kalamazoo Growlers.
Yes.
For some people, that, you know, that is of interest.
It's
who,
a good one.
Who are we playing?
Yeah.
What's of interest to us is the quality and quantity of canned food sculptures that get built by members of our community. So the goal is to leverage between 8,000 and 10,000 pounds of food that day, just from food sculptures. And it's cool because they're on display for the community to see at the game.
It's one of the more fun events that we have in this area, and it's such a blast to be a part of. I never see anybody there who isn't in good spirits, even with the weather. If the weather,
even when
not,
they fall down, not the people, the sculptures.
it's always, the energy is always so great in the park anyway, and then you have this day where it's just on another level, and it feels so good to be a part of. Even if you can't, make a team and be a part of and create a sculpture or something, you can bring a non-perishable food item to the ballpark and donate that.
Absolutely. So we do collect at the door any non-perishable food items that people want to bring. And then also, as a spectator for the Rafter game, you also get a chance to vote on the Community Choice Award. So which of the small sculptures and which of the large sculptures that you just like the best. And, you know, that's fun, too, to kind of see what the community's perspective is.
Yes.
You know, because sometimes there'll be a kid something built, you know, let's say a minion, you know, one year someone built one of the minions from the movies, and the kids just love that. But then the adults were gravitating to a different sculpture. So it is always, it's awesome to see the number of votes that each one get. And then we do set a few awards. We have most creative, most nutritious. Those are voted on by some judges. James, you're typically one of our star judges. So we have a little panel of judges that determine those two. And then we have the Community Choice Awards. So it's really just a fun way to raise awareness around hunger in our community. And that's the primary goal of this event. It's not necessarily leveraging the food. It's educating the community on hunger. Mm-hmm. But the bonus is all the food, right? Yeah. That gets distributed the next morning to all of our local food programs.
A big thank you to our friends at Focus, Dale and the gang over there that do such great work, Neighborhood Table and the Backpack Program, all the great people under Focus.
You know, it's really cool. Last year, for the first time, so we also, our United Way also serves Adams County. Mm-hmm. And last year, we actually had two sculptures come from the Adams County area.
Oh, cool.
And so then we made sure that their food pantry, the food pantry that serves Adams, also got an allocation of food. So that was a nice expansion to, to this program. So really love that, too.
There's bragging rights for the winners, of course, as well.
Of course.
I can't imagine that I would be talking about it almost every day for at least a couple months.
We used to have this really kind of obnoxious traveling trophy. You know, it was like plastic fruit, like spray painted gold, and then it was plastic fruit.
Oh, that's awesome.
And I have no idea. I think one year it didn't come back. Probably someone's just holding it, right? Like it's in their trophy case.
Yeah. In their defense, it'd be hard to let go.
So then I was wondering, should we just make a new one every year? However, if you win in multiple years, you know, how many of these can you actually house?
Oh, very true. Very true. I will say, if you're ever looking for a place to stop for that kind of thing, awards and more. Great people. Great people. They do all of our trophies and everything. Wonderful people over there. Good morning to them. And I did want to mention real quick, along with the United Weekend event, not only is this, you brought up the great point, Terry, bringing attention. I'm not sure, I'm sure I'm not the only one that have seen the numbers recently, and in the last month even, about not just homelessness, but hunger in our communities, and in Wisconsin in general. This is becoming more and more important as we go along here. The idea of what a person struggling to put food on the table looks like has changed since we were kids, to the public eye. I don't know if it's ever really, to people like ourselves, if we've always kind of known, but I don't know if people really realize how much different it is now that you walk past that person every day. There are so many people out there that you would never guess that are struggling with this and are. And when you're able to help a human being with food, think, is it not one of the most basic things we can do for each other? And you get to take in a baseball game while you're at it and check out all these cool things and stuff.
Yeah.
It's such a cool event. We encourage you to be a part of it. It is going to be a blast. Looking forward to it. It feels like it's a little ways away, but these things usually, like,
I can't believe how
March
close
just flew by.
Yeah.
I don't know what's going to happen
in
April.
United We Can is 3 months away.
As far as we know, Terry, April might already be over. I blinked 2 seconds ago, and we may have already gone through April. I'm not sure.
Well, I think people are counting on April being a little bit nicer than this weather.
Here's hoping.
I think we're getting out like a lion coming.
I do have to mention two other things as well. My free taxes I've been using for about 4 or 5 years, and fantastic. Easy to use, so easy a radio announcer can use it. Very basic too. You've mentioned this before. You can do it on your phone. You can do it on your laptop. Either way, you usually take a picture of your W-2 and your all that, or not your W-2, your taxes and stuff,
yep,
and have to post that up. And that's kind of the most difficult part.
And
it's not even that. That is not even difficult.
Yeah, I was going to say, and you don't even have to do that for all the returns. I know when I was helping my daughter do hers, and probably because she's someone's dependent, you know, it wasn't required that happened. It is mobile friendly, which is really nice, right? Because for many people, your smartphone is your computer. You know what I mean? Like, that's what you use. You don't necessarily have another laptop at home or something like that. And then keep in mind, too, McMillan Memorial Library does have, you know, computers available for your use, including for something like this, right? Like, that would be a smart use if you need that, if you don't have access.
You mentioned McMillan. We'll be joined by McMillan this week in the Morning Magazine. They're going to be joining us on Friday. It's going to be great. And we talk rafters. Of course, we're the home of your Wisconsin Rapids Rafters, so I do have to mention that the season kicks off on May 29th against the Lakeshore Chinooks. Looking forward to that, May 29th. And that'll be at home. So we start off the season with two home games against the Chinooks, and then we wrap up the season with two games at home against the Green Bay Booyah. And I don't care what they call themselves. They're the Booyah to me. So that's exciting. I love that we can start and end the season at home.
Yeah, that's awesome.
I don't know. Maybe we do that a lot more than I realize. I don't think we did that last year, and I can't remember the last time that happened.
I think we started the season away last year for some reason.
Yeah, I'm almost positive we did.
Yeah.
That's exciting. Oh, Rafter Baseball. Your home for the Wisconsin Rapids Rafters. Every pitch, every hit, every win of Rafter Baseball right here at WFHR all season long. We'll take a break right here. We'll come back into our National Day of Calendar. It's Terry and James taking you through your morning here at WFHR. Welcome back to the morning show here at WFHR, locally grown radio. Terry and James here with you. We hope you're having a fantastic Thursday out there. Happy Friday Eve, everybody. It is time for us to dive into our National Day of Calendar for this 30th of March. And first up, it is World TB 303 Appreciation Day. Finally. I've been waiting all week for this. I have no idea what that is. TB 303 may sound like R2-D2. No, it doesn't. R2-D2 sounds cool. But in fact, it exists as the original sound of techno music and acid house genre since the 80s. As the first pattern-based sequencer to exist, this piece of technology created the renaissance, the tempo, the cutoff that many today recognize that is techno music.
Okay, when I see TB 303, I think of like tuberculosis, like literally TB. Right. Like I'm like, oh, what is this? A new strain?
Man, what? I'm sorry, sir, but your tests came back. You have TB 303. What? I was wondering why I was dancing all the time.
Why my feet won't quit.
I can't stop my feet.
Jiggling around.
Can't stop. TB-303 is a baseline synthesizer first manufactured by the Roland Corporation in 82. The company had been about 10 years old at the time. The 303 only lasted over a year, selling over 100,000 of them.
You know, it sounds like a one-hit wonder. So, like, why do they get a day?
Well, it started the whole thing. House music is really the forebear before anything we have now that we dance to.
Sure, that makes sense.
It was really huge when we were kids, in the 90s and everything is when it really came to arise.
When you were first talking about it, you said the baseline synthesizer. I'm like, remember what people used to talk about synthesizers? Like, it was like a thing. Yes. You know, like, I don't even know the last time I heard that word was.
there was a point where bands like Depeche Mode and things like that, and bands like that, like, completely got rid of guitars and just replaced them with synthesizers and pulled it off. Like, it actually, they had a lot of hits. They were actually a good band. INXS, a similar band to that, and a lot of those kind of bands. None of that happens without the Roland, the TB 303 here.
Huh.
Kind of interesting.
They could have had a better name.
Absolutely, yeah. Yeah, I don't think the name helped them very much. Also, house music that got its, born and raised in Chicago, really set the bar for where we are now with almost all of pop music. And I don't mean just like pop, traditional pop music. I mean country pop, rap pop. All pop music. It kind of starts right there at that house level. Interesting. It all begins with the TB-303, which I am sorry if you have that. And we do not mean to be insensitive.
You should see a doctor.
You definitely should see a doctor. Definitely. Get some dancing in first. Get your steps in.
Dance your way to the doctor.
Yes, yeah, like that. I can't stop there. National Take a Walk in the Park Day.
Oh, good idea. It's a little chilly today.
Maybe put a pin in this one. maybe save it for a warmer day. But if you can, if you feel up to braving it, go for it. Get out as much as you can.
Yesterday was pretty brisk. Yeah. And we took a nice walk around around Lake Wazeecha. So that's about 4 miles. And it actually, once you got going, it really wasn't bad. But when we first started, I was like, whoa, it's a little crispy out here.
I'll tell you one thing that can help. Having a little fur brother that's a Muppet and has been dying to get outside for months. And as soon as that dog saw the path, you would have thought it was like you heard angels sing and stuff like that and everything. He was booking. We were moving so much. I didn't have a chance to get cold this weekend when I was taking him for a walk
perfect.
And everything. That's not a bad idea if you're taking your little fur brother or fur friend for a walk or something. It is also National Pencil Day. Pencils are great. I still use pencils all the time.
I like pencils, too. You got to have a good eraser, though.
Yes, I need a very good eraser. I make a lot of mistakes. With so many types of pens, from everyday stick pen to the descendant fountain pen and multi-purpose Sharpie, the humble pencil often has a tendency to be overlooked. That's why National Pencil Day is here to remind everyone just how amazing a stick of graphite encased in a tube of wood can be. And that is all it is. It's pretty amazing you think about that. Just some graphite encased in a tube of wood and think of all the things that has created.
And think about all the years that it's been in existence in the same format.
I understand that it's evolved in little ways here and there and everything.
But not much.
Not much. No, it's basically the same thing we've always used. And think of what the pencil has done. How many great stories have been written by a pencil? How many great movies, TV shows, songs? How many letters have been written with a pencil back and forth between lovers or any of these things? The pencil's done millions and millions of great things. It's an incredible invention. In its modern form, the center of the pencil graphite, the term lead, is a misnomer. It's kind of a misleader. Was put to use in Europe in the 15th century. However, some historians believe that native Aztecs were making use of it hundreds of years earlier. That's pretty crazy. That is pretty cool.
Very cool.
Oh, we appreciate you, pencil. Thank you, mighty pencil. And we appreciate doctors, as it is National Doctors Day. I'm one of those weirdos that believes in science and doctors, so I'm all in on this day. But
what is with you?
I know we got to be sensitive to that stuff nowadays and everything. We don't want to offend anybody that would rather listen to Uncle Joe's Facebook post than a doctor.
You didn't care about the people who don't love pencils a few minutes ago.
True. Completely cold on that one. Cold hearted on that one. This one, no. It's easy to forget just how important, valuable, and necessary good doctors are. That is until you sustain an injury or you're dealing with a kidney stone like I am. Dr. Day puts hardworking doctors in the spotlight, encourages us to be considerate of the long hours they work, their compassion, and the effort they put into practicing medicine. The greatest doctors I've ever known are the ones that talk about options, tell you this, and that's it, and then leave the
room.
Like
you actually have a conversation.
Yeah. The doctor with the patient, the bedside manner, I don't think, like, that's something I think we kind of take lightly. Because if you've had you've had doctors that don't have that, I think you understand how important that is to your care.
And it is really nice when they'll sit and have a conversation with you, not like you feel rushed.
Yes.
You know, where they're, I don't know, where they're listening. Maybe they already came in and they know what the diagnosis should be or that kind of thing, but they still are listening. I think that makes a huge difference.
Yeah. There's a reason, we all know the term second opinion. It's not to say that a doctor is correct every single time or anything like that. Nothing is in life. Even a calculator can be wrong. It's more about the idea that they give not only do I trust these people that have spent, a good portion of their lives in school to learn this subject and everything, but the idea of a doctor with a heart being able to give you options, and that to me gives me a little more confidence in the diagnosis, in who they are. And the work that this takes, the effort it takes. Doctors usually are paid pretty darn well. So I'm not, I don't expect anybody. I'd rather you have your empathy for nurses and ER doctors and things like that. But even with that being said, put the paycheck aside, think about what that job is. We ask people to have empathy for firefighters, for police officers, for people like that all the time. Is it that different being a doctor? You know, and I'm not talking about, I don't mean to just say you're every doctor, you know, but for a lot of doctors, they are dealing with people at some really crucial, difficult, hard moments.
Or have you ever had that situation where, like, the doctor comes in and it's very short and abrupt and it's, and then, you know what I mean? Like, they're done and they leave and then you're like, wait, can I pick someone else?
Yeah. It was like, wait, that didn't seem right. I spent more time waiting for
you
than the diagnosis.
I have this to say, yeah.
And we've all experienced that. Everybody experienced the whole waiting. And your appointment's at 12:30 and it's almost 1 o'clock and you're still waiting. That's because they are overworked.
Or hopefully they're spending good quality time with the other patients, and then you get the same, right? National Doctors Day. It's awesome.
Appreciate the doctors out there. It would be a very, very different world without them. I don't think any of us want to see that one. We'll take a break right here. We will come back and have some more fun after Melissa's news on the morning show at WFHR, where we are locally grown radio. Yes. Welcome back, everybody. Again. Morning show here at WFHR. Locally grown radio. Oh my God, I remember TLC. Oh yeah, that brings back some memories. 90s in full effect here on the morning show. Yeah, which only fits having you and I together, Terry.
I mean, but don't you get visuals of Seth? Like, yes,
I can't help myself. My favorite part is with a song like this, with a beat like this. I like the idea of Seth sitting in there, just with nobody looking, like him bopping his head, bopping along to it, and everything, getting into it. Yeah, I love it. I love the idea of it. We hope you guys are having a great Thursday out there. Thanks so much for joining us. 7:34 on the clock. And speaking of the 90s, we're going to go to Pepsi right now, talking about their logo and all over the gamut here. If someone were to ask you to draw the Pepsi logo from memory, what would you draw? Probably a circle, you know, or that kind of thing with red, white, and blue stripes, and the brand Pepsi maybe in the middle of it or whatever. When PepsiCo walks people through this exercise, as it sometimes does, that's what most do. They put the word Pepsi in the circle, but that's not what the current logo looks like.
It's under it, isn't
it? Yeah. The brand name is off to the side a bit, meek next to the iconic globe. So Pepsi is making a change. Quote, we couldn't ignore that kind of insight. Marco Porcini, PepsiCo's chief design officer. Instead of rejecting it, we decided to embrace it. This past Tuesday, Pepsi unveiled a new logo and branding that will roll out in North America this fall and globally next year. It looks a lot like the 90s version, which seems to have stuck in people's brains. But the new element to make it more modern, including a different font and font color and a new border. The changes are designed not only to better align with people's recollection, but to draw attention to people's zero sugar line, a key part of the company's growth plan. So looking at the design, and I don't know how well you can see this, Terry, but this is the Pepsi logo through the years. And back in 1898 and 1904, when it first started, that original logo, it is very weird looking.
That is very weird looking.
There's something about it I kind of like, too,
but,
though.
Yeah, definitely drawn by a pencil.
Yes. Yeah. And does not look like I can read Pepsi in there. That P is very hard to read in it. The next current version, I don't know. They seem to have really hit it well throughout most of the time. The 98-2007 one seems a little like I made it on my, you know, like those early graphic design programs.
Oh, for sure. Agree.
But otherwise, it seems like they've always just hit the mark.
So the one all the way to the right on the bottom, that's the new one?
Yes.
Pulse. To me, it looks like it's pulsing.
It does look like a pulse. It does, yeah. But it's got a bit of the nostalgia in it, but a little modern. And I feel it's a little more modern than it is nostalgia, but I don't know if that's going to matter to people.
I don't think it's as risky as I thought it was going to be.
No.
You know, at first, when you're like, they're changing the logo, I'm like, is that smart? I totally, the one that's most memorable to me of all of those is the top right. That must be what, from the 80s?
Yep, 87 to 97.
Yeah.
And that's the one that's most common to me, too. I think that's my favorite one, too, with the Pepsi and blue and all of that. I was with you. So I read the article and I didn't see the logo yet. And I pull up the logo and I'm like, okay, that's cool. I mean, that's good effort.
That's smart.
Think of the money they spent on this. Think of the money that they spent on this, Terry. And, I mean, I genuinely think that you and I could have come up with this after a couple of tries. It reminds me of any new car nowadays from literally any company. They all look alike. The cars don't stand out anymore. There's no more this car looks this way, that car look. Everybody wants to play everything so safe.
Yeah,
so much money involved in this stuff. There's so much risk involved and jobs involved that people don't want to take risks anymore. And I'm getting really like frustrated with it. Like, I want to see somebody take some chances here. I want to see somebody work outside the box. Where are people of the late 80s and early 90s that took chances at everything? Oh yeah, that's right. They're all out of work. But still, I want to see some people
living
take
with
some
their
chances.
Parents.
Yes, yes, exactly.
But you know, the car thing, like you do still see a lot of interesting design. Like if you look at the car show, right? Like if you go to a live or if you see it on TV, but then you never see those designs translate to the road.
Yeah. Yeah. I don't even see rich people driving those cars.
No, it's crazy. Where do you see rich people?
Not around here. not very often. I'll say that. Not very often.
I don't know.
I don't work in those circles.
I like Pepsi's move there. But, you know, you're right about spending money because you see that all over. Like, you can get money. And I'm talking about this, like, from the nonprofit standpoint even. But, like, you can get money for any feasibility study you want to do.
Yeah.
You know, like someone will give you money. They'll give you $20,000 to study something, but they won't give you $20,000 to make something happen. You know what I mean?
So
like it's very interesting, the thought process.
Carl and I did a story quite a while back about them spending like $2,500,000 or something like that, some research company on why chocolate's addictive. Because it tastes good. Like, what do you need here? What are you doing? Yeah. What are you doing? Well, I could have saved you. Like, give me $5 and I could have told you that.
Or better yet, give me $500.
Yes, please. Yes. Pepsi has been around for 125 years and updating its brand every so often. The current visual identity was introduced in 2008, but in the years since it's first appeared, it's gone to a bit stale. So this is the purpose of the kind of updated logo for them and everything. Pepsi has done something kind of interesting, too, that in some ways I almost admire. They realized a while back we're never going to topple Coca-Cola. It's always been Coca-Cola, Pepsi battling back and forth. And when we were kids, you had the Coca-Cola challenge.
Remember the taste testing?
Taste testings and all that and everything. And at a certain point, Pepsi was like, all right, we're going to be in second place here, fine, but we're going to corner this, and this market. And here's Mountain Dew for you, and here's these.
Let's do second place really well.
Yeah. And I actually kind of admire that approach. I think that we live in such a, especially here in America, win or nothing society, and only championships mean stuff and everything. And I don't necessarily, you know, begrudge all of that. I think that there's some truth to that. But like most things, there's a little truth to it, and then there's also a little, like, hey, there's also this, like, you know, Dan Marino never won a Super Bowl. He was one of the top five greatest quarterbacks I've ever seen in my life. I'm not going to take, his bar doesn't go down just because he didn't win a championship.
Right.
To me. To me, Pepsi is world known, not like just here in America. Like, it's world known. I think they're doing okay. Second place don't seem so bad.
Exactly.
Take a break. Come back. We'll have some more fun here on The Morning Show at WFHR. Welcome back, everybody, to the morning show here at WFHR, locally grown radio. Terry and James here with you. We've got plenty of fun stuff lined up, take it at the top of the hour. Right now, a little bit later, I want to get into this one with you, Terry. Where is it? Here it is. Life hack we've got about how to remove a Band-Aid with no pain.
Oh, good.
Got that one coming up a little bit later. Right now, the term date used to mean you went out somewhere and maybe got something to eat. But in the era of Netflix and chill and quarantining and all these other things and stuff, I guess we've relaxed that definition. A new poll asked 5,000 people in relationships what their favorite, quote, date night activities are. And going out to eat is still number one. But let's go ahead and take a look at the rest of the list and see how this ranks compared to, you know, maybe days past. Going to dinner, number one, 46% of people said it's the top date night activity for them.
I don't know. I think that's pretty common.
Yeah.
Like, thinking about us, and I mean, we don't do intentional date nights very often, but or friends or that kind of thing. Yeah, I think that's legit.
Everybody's got to eat. Yep. It's the same old. Number two, a night in together. 28% of people consider that a date night.
suppose it depends. Depends how busy you are. You know what I mean? Like, I feel like I'm always on the go. So if we could actually commit to, and it's different now that the kids drive, but before they drove, I mean, I was running every night of the week. And so now it is kind of nice, you know, that we can say, okay, we're staying here. You know, yeah. Make dinner, watch something or whatever.
We get busy in the week, and there's always, you're walking around the house or the apartment and you see things, oh, I'll get that this weekend, or I'll get to that this weekend or whatever. And so oftentimes that's what couples have to do with their time at home is getting stuff done. Oh, you're going to take care of this. I got this, that kind of thing. So if that's the case, if that's what you guys are doing together, that's cool. That is not a date. Make it a date. You deserve that. I'm not talking to any particular couple.
No,
I just
but
mean
be
people
intentional.
In general.
Yeah.
Be intentional about it. Make the effort and put the time in. You deserve that. That's not just the foolish romantic in me talking. That's somebody that cares about people's relationships. I want people to work out. And it's not going to work if you consider that a date and you don't even see each other all night. It's not a date. Make the effort. Sit there, watch a movie, catch up on a TV show or something like that. Actually talk to each other.
Oh, so like laundry in one room and like dishes in the other. That doesn't count.
No. Wow. I thought it did for many years. It did not count.
Uh-huh. Happily divorced.
Exactly. going to the movies. 22% of people believe that one is a date night. Of course. Yeah, it's a date.
And that was totally a date, like when we were kids.
Yeah. Yeah. It was the perfect date in high school. Because you didn't have much to say. You didn't have a whole lot to talk. You didn't know what you were going to talk about or anything. And you were still doing something together, but you were in public. You were, you know.
How long did you practice the old reach around?
I didn't do it. I never did that. only because my best friend in the world, Chris, it was Look Who's Talking To. That's how old I am. And we're sitting there, and God, I'll never forget this. He wanted this date so bad. And Maritz wouldn't go out with him unless he had a friend. It could go with her friend. So I went, and I'm sitting next to him, and they're sitting on the bookends of us. And in I don't know what he was thinking, but it happened to be like the quiet moment in the movie. And he literally yawns to put his arm around her. And it was just deathly quiet in that theater. And I was so uncomfortable with it. I start laughing. He's like elbowing me to stop laughing. And as soon as I start laughing, though, the girl that I was with, immediately puts her hand on my thigh. But it wasn't like smooth or anything like that. It was like a
death grip.
Yes. It was like whack. It was like I was in trouble or something like that. And I shut up real quick. I shut up real fast right there. That was a real fun experience.
So maybe across the table is better than next to each other.
Maybe. Cooking together. 15% believe that is a date night. And you're darn right it is. That's a fun. I think that's a lot of fun to do together. Again, everybody's got to eat. Cooking together can be a great bonding experience, a great chance to find different things out about each other. And it's just fun, too. Going on a long drive. 13% believe that is a date. Yeah, I would say it is.
It's not because both people know where they're going.
That's a solid point.
Right? Like, or it depends how many dates you've been on already. Yeah. I don't know that that's a good first date thing.
No, I don't think that's necessarily a good first date at all. Yeah. Especially if you don't tell the person that's what you're doing.
If you drive a van with no windows.
Yeah, not a good call. Not a good call. Maybe ask to borrow your friend's vehicle. Maybe not a good thing to pick somebody up in.
No.
Shopping. 13% say that is a date night. A date.
You know, it kind of depends. I mean, we've done that where maybe we needed something for the house.
Yeah.
Or we're starting to shop maybe for some furniture or something. You know, go out to dinner and then go walk through the stores. I don't know.
I think that's another one of those ones where you got a time crunch here. We want to get time together, but we also got to get some stuff done.
And so it just kind of depends on and if you can do it, especially if you have littles, like if you can do it without the kids, then it's a date.
Boy, yeah. You are so right about that. Yes. A million times, yes. A romantic walk on the beach. 10% believe that is a date.
Bring the beach.
Yeah. I would say some of our, in this area here in the Midwest, there's plenty of lakes that are great to walk along as well. Going camping. 10% believe that is. Yeah. Yeah. Now, I've never been camping, but I would imagine that that could be a day.
Yeah, I think it just depends on your interest, right? Yeah.
That seems like more of a you've been together a while kind of thing. Like, you don't want to be doing that the first month you're together. It seems like, again, I've never been camping, so I don't know a whole lot of what I'm talking about here. But what I do know of camping doesn't seem like something you want to.
It might depend if you're tent camping or camper camping.
Oh,
right.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah,
I mean, yes. It's a little different. And it depends, too. I mean, if you're both really outdoorsy people and you're going to go away for the weekend and, you know, I don't know, hike into wherever you're going to stay.
Yeah, yeah. What, okay, I mean, I get the major differences, but is there like a significant difference in the person that chooses to RV camp and the person that tent camps?
Well, and I don't even know, you know, so we camped a lot when I was a kid, and I don't even know about, like, I mean, I think if you're RV camping, like, if you have a motorhome, you're doing, I mean, that's different,
yeah,
right?
Yeah.
But if you just have a, you know, I don't know, 26-foot camper or a tent or whatever. But I mean, you're much better protected from the elements in a camper. Mm-hmm. And so I think that's really the big thing. Now, there are tents that are engineered as such that, you know, you're in pretty good shape, but you're vulnerable to the wind. You're definitely vulnerable to the rain.
Yeah.
You know, so then there's that whole thing of if the tent goes down or if all your stuff is soaked, then what? So I don't know. I agree with you. I don't know that that's an early dating thing. But again, it depends. It depends on your interests.
I know that when I do finally camp, I want to do it I shouldn't say the right way, but I want to do it with a tent. I want to actually like be in the elements.
It's fun. I mean, we did it all, like I said, all the time when we were kids. That was vacation. You know, we went camping.
Engaging in a hobby together, 10% of people enjoy doing that one. They call that a date. And yeah, why is that not higher? I would think that that's one of the things that might even bring you together. You know, that you like this too? So do I. Let's do it together.
Yeah.
And I don't know. I'm talking about this stuff like I know what I'm talking about. Like I'm Dr. Ruth or something. I got a clue. Like
I was just thinking that probably like you're right. When you know, you might gravitate towards someone because you have similar interests like that. And then I don't know. Then like you have kids, and then it's for us. It's like all of their stuff is our. You know what I mean?
Yes.
It's kind of our common. I don't know that our hobbies are necessarily the same. Sometimes that's a date of letting the other person do their hobby, right?
True. Very true.
It's not really a date, but I'm just saying, being like, go do what you want to, you know what
you
I mean?
Just be you, go I'll, do your
I,
thing.
I'll cover all this stuff, and then, you know, when I want to go do whatever, then, I don't know.
You hand the baton, and it's
you know,
kind
of, yeah.
And finally on the list, game nights. 9% of people call that a date night. Yeah, that's certainly a date night. I mean, now board games have brought up a huge rise. There's been a huge rise of board games since the quarantine.
Especially,
and everything.
Yeah.
It hasn't. The numbers haven't really gone down. That's kind of cool to see to me.
It is cool. I think so, too. You know, and everything on this list, though, is just about being intentional about time.
Yes.
You know, so I think that's really the, you know, it doesn't really matter what you're doing. Well, as long as both people are agreeable, right? Like, it is funny in our house, we don't watch the same TV. Mm-hmm. I don't watch that much TV, but we definitely do not watch the same TV. So we have to compromise like on movies.
Yeah.
You know, and it's really funny because now I'm like, okay, I get to pick the movie, but you have to put your phone away.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, because it's not an action movie, like you have to actually pay attention to the movie. But we're often just if I do sit down and watch TV, we're just on different TVs, and that's fine. It's not a, you know what I mean, like it's not a thing. We're just each are in a different living room, and
it's not as if you're not communicating or talking or anything like that. I think that there's you need also people, human beings need that as well. They need time to themselves. They need a moment to think for themselves or have a moment to themselves or anything too. That's just very difficult when you live with somebody and you have kids and all that. It makes it tougher. So to me, that's part of the reason why these some of this stuff makes more sense than others. Getting things done, or as far as the hobby thing goes, maybe I like to do this and you like to do that. So you do this, I do that, and we're doing it in the same under the same roof.
Yeah.
And so
we're in the same room even. Yeah. But you know, when I think about
I wouldn't call that a date.
No, me either. No. Not at all. When I think about dates, so remember when you were a kid and like teenagers, you'd end up in the same spot and you might be going there to intentionally meet someone, right?
Yeah.
But I, for me, what I recall back then is it was an actual real date when the boy picked the girl up.
Yeah.
You know what
yeah.
I mean? Like they came to your house and got you. And it's funny, now having teenage girls, I am totally fine with them driving themselves to wherever they're like,
yeah.
Because then you have a way
home. Yeah,
yeah. Yeah.
I much rather.
You know what
that.
I mean?
Yes,
like,
yes.
But tradition.
Mm-hmm.
It was definitely customary for, you know, the male to pick up the female.
Oh, yeah.
To go. And but it is funny now because I'm like, take your own car.
Yes. Yes. I have two daughters. Yeah, yeah.
You know,
I 100% agree with you.
And yeah. That sounds dumb, and it's nothing about the kids that they hang around with, but it's just the idea that you don't find yourself in a situation that you feel like you can't get away from.
Yes, yes. And I like that. That is a comfort as a parent. There's a lot of comfort in that. I really love what you said there, though, about the intent of time. I didn't see that as clearly. That is a really insightful thing, I think. That's the key thing, I think, to take away from this. Are you putting effort in making it a valuable time with each other?
And even if you've been together for 50 years, yeah. You still need some intentional time.
Absolutely. Yeah, yeah. You deserve that. Everybody does. Yeah. It's that time of year when we have to start worrying about fake products for April Fool's Day. But apparently this one is real. I wasn't sure. I had to double check two different websites and everything. Cup Noodles is now selling breakfast flavored ramen.
Oh, it is ramen. Blech.
It tastes like sausage, eggs, and pancakes and maple syrup. They say it's supposed to be like a classic dinner breakfast in a cup.
That is disgusting.
Yeah, yeah. They announced it yesterday, and they'll be available at select Walmarts for a limited time. Each cup is $1.18, so someone who spotted them on the shelves posted a photo on Reddit. So, yes, they appear to be real. The label says it's artificially flavored, but the company says that there are also visible ingredients of sausage and eggs. They say it's even better if you add extra syrup.
Oh, okay, first of all, I don't even like the smell of ramen.
Yeah.
I have teenagers in the house, so it's a thing, right? Like,
yes,
we have ramen. I'm not saying it's not there. But I don't even, when they make it, I'm like, ooh, it kind of turns my stomach. Like, I just don't like it at all. And now this, but have you seen those breakfast bowls?
Oh,
I
mean, yeah.
You know, they are all over, and it's a thing. And I've
popular.
Seen them where you can, you know, like you're in the cold section at the refrigerator, you know, the cold refrigerator.
Yeah, yeah.
The cold section at the grocery store. And they are, I mean, it is actually like eggs and sausage and stuff. You're just warming it, right? Like it's a like any other packaged meal. But the idea that all of those flavors are coming out of noodles, ugh.
No.
I just...
It's their second limited edition flavor. Their first was a pumpkin spice version they put out 2 years ago.
Okay, I would eat this. Okay, if you had to pick, yeah, I'd eat this one.
This one. This one.
I'm not eating the pumpkin spice noodles.
Definitely this one. I'm not a food mixer. Like those food bowls you were talking about could not disgust me more.
So will you eat scrambled eggs?
Yeah, yeah.
But so if there was like, not sausage or bacon on the side, but if there was little chunks of it actually in the eggs, you can't do that?
I mean, I think I could handle that. Because as much as I hate mixing food, I'm also the guy that would grow up with a father that would grab a piece of bread, throw a bunch of scrambled eggs, a bunch of sausage links in there, and then just devour it. Making a breakfast sandwich is one of my favorite things to do with food, yes. I'm a hypocrite when it comes to this
and
stuff.
And that doesn't bother me. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Like the whole meat mixed in, but there are some things where I'm like, they can touch each other on the plate, but I'd rather they weren't all slopped together.
I hate, I love corn, but I hate the juice from corn getting into anything else.
So if you
anything. I don't care what it is. Like, I just can't, don't like it.
So make sure the slotted spoon is in the corn.
yes. Absolutely.
I don't care if the corn water, I always call it corn water.
I don't care
if like the corn water gets, you know, it could get like to the potatoes and gravy but if you have a dinner roll.
That's the thing. Yes.
Yuck.
When it gets on your burger bun, the bottom burger bun, and it soaks the bottom burger bun. No.
Gross.
No. Can't have that. Can't have that.
No.
That's a deal.
Drain
break.
Your corn water, people.
Yes. Yeah. It's a public service announcement. We need to do a PSA about that. We did.
Tomorrow we'll be handing out slotted spoons.
For too many years, corn water has plagued our society. We need to come together. Can't we all work together to bring down corn water?
Like, don't you have a colander?
Come on. doesn't with some of these things too, like it's $1.18 they're spending on, they're charging for this kind
that's
of
it?
Thing. Yeah, that's it.
I
that,
suppose
for these cups.
If it's yeah,
it is ramen. That's part of the go-to with ramen. True. Is the price of them and everything.
So it's probably expensive.
I just researching this stuff a little bit more and everything. So many companies nowadays. This is such a weird scenario to be in. I'm these cup of noodles people, and I understand that, hey, not a lot of people are going to like this, but I know that a lot of, like, hey, crazy morning shows are going to talk about it, and this place is going to talk about it, and so the PR that we get out of it is almost worth whatever we lose in sales, and that's such a weird place to be in, I would
strange?
Think, as a business.
And it's a strategy, though. I mean, it's intentional.
Yeah.
And so, though, what does it do? It does make you pause in the grocery store, if you've heard this, and then you look, and you might pass on the eggs and waffles and sausage noodles, but you might buy the plain chicken flavor noodles.
Right.
You know what I mean? It might
right.
drive their sales in other areas.
It seems to overwhelmingly do that for a lot of companies.
Now,
it's just very interesting.
Sadly, they're only getting us. If they could get a TikToker to pick it up, wow, they'd be on fire.
Then they'd really be into something. Then. Yes. We'll take a break right here. We're going to be joined when we come back by our friends from the Weather Eye Weather Center. We'll get you a live and direct update by Mother Nature coming up here on The Morning Show at WFHR, where we are locally grown radio.